This is why your prices suck.
You keep doing this.
Stop doing that!
You'll never profit like this. If you don't know where to start with your prices,
we have 5 killer pricing methods that actually work.
At the end of the video, we'll give you a bonus method
that we currently use. In segment 1, we're going to go over competitive pricing.
So the definition of competitive pricing is that you're setting your rental prices by analyzing the rates of your local competitors for similar items and making adjustments based on those small variations. So you could go above or below the average.
So the main question you're going to have to ask yourself is like, is your market very price sensitive? Or what are you selling across the board people are very price sensitive to? The way you go about doing this right here is pretty simple. Me and Eddie had this done literally every three months, right?
Something like that. Yeah, 3 months.
We have someone, Cheryl, called over to each customer. If you're in the Dallas area, you might have got called if you're on that list. Most of the sites that have it on their site, we can do a quick, we don't even go from there.
Yeah.
And then we'll get delivery prices. And also too, we can see a lot about their delivery strategies when they go through. And then we'll just get a quote for each item and we'll do it across every single one. And we also, we mark which companies doesn't get back to us. And we don't use the same number as any of our other stuff. We use a real location. Some people never get back to us at all. First, we thought it because...
They thought it was us.
They thought it was us. But then I realized there's no way to get it back to us. Only person I didn't get back to us last time, I actually just went out of business.
Oh, Alexander.
I didn't think about that. Damn. So you're probably thinking, like, how do you do the math? Tina has the math for us.
Yes. So the way you find your price is your rental price equals your average competitor price times, in parentheses, 1 plus or minus percentage adjustment. So the plus or minus is depending on whether or not you want to be above the average or below the average price. And the percentage adjustment is just what percent do you want to adjust your price at?
I remember Eddie was telling me the other day.
I think we were just starting, I think it was like 1.5 or 2. And Kobe went out to TLC. And then the owner was like, hey, are you with Kelly Reynolds? Like, yeah, you need to tell them to raise their prices up. He's like, they're taking too many of my business. He wanted us to be kind of more competitive because when you have a really low price, you know, it kind of takes away from all the other people.
When you lower the cost, you remove money from the market that would have been spent. Realistically, you need to do what you feel best with doing. If the numbers work out for you, you can do that. We were way lower than we should have been at the time, and we raised that up to meet to market standards, and then we were able to discount in private. If you're in a competitive market and you sell the basic items or just for your basic items like chairs and tables, you know, that's why you should do that.
That is true because 86% of customers say that it's important to compare prices from different sellers.
I got something for them today, Eddie.
What you got?
I got something special for them.
New product?
No. Not this time. Shh. We got something for you. It's called the Ultimate Checklist. This is the number one rental guide made by the Rental Boys. Over 1,000 operators have downloaded the Ultimate Checklist. So make sure you get yours already so you can start beating out your competitors and growing your business. And the Ultimate Checklist has a whole list of a whole bunch of stuff on there from how to use your money, how to get clients, who to hire, when to hire. And it has all the stuff inside of it and a whole bunch of frequently asked questions that we answer on the show that is jam-packed in here. And the Eddie, tell them what the best part of this is.
The best part is it's absolutely
free. So get yours and get 3 and invite somebody else. If you want to get a link to live stream, check the link out down below. And also, thank you so much. Let us know what you think about our Ultimate Checklist kind of announcements. Eddie says, you know, you guys don't really like it. The second method we're going to talk about is percentage payback.
Your percentage of payback is whenever you set your rate based on the price of your item and how long it takes to pay back that item. So you need to figure out what your break-even point is, and everything after your break-even point is going to be your profits from that item.
If you want a systematic approach to figuring out how much you should charge in your prices and you don't want to do all the competitive analysis, all the other stuff, and you kind of just want to get straight to this, this is the best way to do it. Because generally, you have a certain return rate. It's from 5 to 25%. That's kind of the main range. The more unique it is or the less it goes out, the more the percentage is. The more common and the more expensive it is, both of them together, the lower the range is. Like your chairs are probably going to be on the lower end, and then your custom-made skyfolds or backdrops are going to be at 25% or 100%, depending on, you know, how many times they go out and how custom it is. You're probably thinking, like, okay, like, how do I do the math on this?
the way you do the math is that your rental price equals your item value times your percentage divided by 100. And so, like Xavier said, if the more unique your item is, the higher your percentage will be. And the more common it is, the lower it'll be.
This is going to be in the ultimate checklist. So make sure you download that. And so you can be able to copy this. Right. How'd you even get into this whole percentage?
I was checking on Facebook. So everything is super cheap.
Dollar chairs.
And then I was like, man. But at the time, I think the chairs were like $9 before, you know, inflation and all that good stuff.
The good times.
Yeah, the good times. They were $9 brand new. So I was like, a dollar, and we're pretty much there, like, you know, 10%. So I did that. And I did a little reading too. I know with the tents, it was a little bit different. I know I did it by square footage on that.
And I remember that square footage was like so much lower.
Yeah. We're losing money.
Yeah, we ended up throwing it out. But I think, no, we didn't score up the percentage, the square footage percentage. We threw out the just the number we had at the beginning. And we just raised the number.
So can you guys explain what you guys mean by the square foot percentage? Like what's being based on that?
Yeah, I think it was like a certain price. I think, I don't know,
50 cents
or something like that, a square foot. And we'll just run that across the whole board on all our tents.
It's funny that you guys say that you guys are losing money when doing it per square foot, because 60% of consumers consider pricing as the very first criteria of their buying decision. So I'm sure your clients were enjoying that.
Oh, they loved it.
$200.
So what we did was we got them hooked. So we're basically like drug dealers. We got them hooked on the product. And we switched the price up on them. They're like, well, I did love that product. So let me go ahead and pay the higher price.
Yeah, and then we start hitting them with baking soda. Baking soda and confentanil. And like, oh, take that. Tastes the same. The third method is lifespan pricing.
Lifespan pricing is when you price your items with a limited lifespan based on the desired return on investment, or your ROI, over the expected number of uses.
The whole point is that you're going to really just figure out what's the lifespan of the item. If you've already had the item, then you should know about the use cases. Look it up in your software. And then look at what point do you think that you have to replace it. Now, if you're one of those people who's going to be like, oh, I want to keep the newest equipment, then you might be replacing that stuff every other year. Mm-hmm. You're going to be like, but if you're realistically looking at it and you think like a throne chair or something like that, that might be something that you might have to replace basically around every like 40 to 30 uses.
So this is how you do the math for lifespan pricing. You actually need to do the math two times. And the first time is to find your return on investment. What we usually recommend is 5 to 10 times what you paid for that item. So if we're doing an example of 5 times, your return on investment would be 500 divided by 100, because the 100 would be your 100% and the 500 would be 5 times. Of that. So after you find your return on investment, you'll multiply your return on investment with the item's value. So this is what you bought that item for, and then you'll divide the entire thing by the expected number of uses.
If you have the data internally, you can look at what you did last year and you can average across. So if you say you had 10 chairs and you rented out 100 times, or if you don't have that data, so just find somebody in a different metroplex that's near you and just reach out to them, and they'll be more likely to talk to you. Now, some people will talk to you about it in close by, or you can just go into the community or just ask in the comments. I'm pretty sure we got tons of people who rent the same thing you rent out for the most part. Hey, how did we do it?
So, no, I mean, a lot of things were common sense, to be honest with you. Like, for instance, linens, like, especially being white, like, they're most likely going to be damaged. The first one, if we're lucky, maybe number 4. So we just a price to reflect that.
Remember the beanbag toss before we got before we changed the versions of them? You might have hated them, but from a percentage payback price, they always made sense.
Yeah, but they always coming back broken because.
But they only came. They didn't come back broken to literally after it was like 20, 30 uses. So yeah, we knew that they had 20, 30.
Well, I already knew they were gonna break because they had cardboard on it.
Yeah, I knew we knew they break, but
it's like a hard cardboard, but it was still cardboard because I already know like little kids like. I'm pretty sure every single one that broke, there was a little kid that just went up there and jumped on it.
Yeah.
And boom, put a big old hole in it.
But you know what is another really factor, and people have this debate all the time, about pop-up tents. You can make more money off of the use cases of it, but eventually the pop-ups will break in 4 to 5 uses.
I was against them because I was like, I'm tired of these things breaking, and I'm having like to rig them up on site. We came up with a game plan. It actually works, and we've even given this away for free. Like with the pop-up tents, you just have it in your contract. And the contract will save you because basically you can double, triple your inventory in a year, probably even more, because customers are going to do what they want. We already know that. They'll try to go the cheap route. And in doing so, they usually damage the pop-up tents. And when they do that, we just charge them for another pop-up tent. But we have insurance on that pop-up tent. So now we got two pop-up tents.
And make sure you buy insurance when you first buy. You don't have to buy one for every single one, but because they all kind of the same. So just on the same tickets and stuff. So you'd be pretty much good. The one thing that we've learned, you have to check it. If you do not check it, this would not work.
Nope.
And you would not be able to know who actually did it.
They go out there, set it up, and it's broken. You're like, was that the last one or the one after that? I don't remember.
Do you want to turn your ad clicks into customers?
But you're spending hundreds on clicks with zero conversions.
Where's my money?
Consider running your ads with us.
We'll optimize your campaigns.
My team and I will manage your ads. Me personally.
You'll get all the returns without lifting a finger.
Click that link down in the description and we'll reach out to you. The fourth method is service-based items.
Service-based items are whenever you price your rental items based on the item's cost and the labor cost associated with setting up and tearing down that item.
Anything you have to do, physical labor to set up, clean, or take down, and it's a part of the service that you have to do. For us, basically, right here, and this is kind of how we kind of messed up with the square footage, because the square footage on the tents, for the most part, was good for the actual rental portion of the tents. But then when we took in the actual how long it takes to tear down and set up, that's when we added in the other parts, which we got to our price range right now on our tents. We met a guy, and one thing I really like about his bounce house, he almost made me think about doing bounce houses for a small second. I looked at Eddie and I realized, hell no, don't want it, never. He had an hourly breakdown into prices, broke down to the teardown, the setup, what the time frame on there, what's the average time, and what they expect the people to do, and then even the cleaning too. So you have the whole thing wrapped into exactly how much you can charge for it. And now you had a basics of how much the rental items got, so you get the return on there, plus what's the service component and how much you want to get a return on those things too, so you can actually make a profit. Because there's no reason to be renting these items out and spending all this money doing services, and then you doing 20 by 20 for, you know, $200, and you making $36.42. You're probably like, well, like, Xavier, give me the math. I got you.
Like before, there are two components to the math. First, you're going to have to determine what your service cost is, how long it takes you to set things up, tear things down, and how much you're paying for that labor in that given time. Once you find your service cost, you'll then find your percentage payback. So we've went over the math on this. This is your rental price equals your item value. So what you got the item for times the percentage that you want to profit from that item. And then you'll add this to your service costs. So it'll keep in mind the cost of your items as well as the labor associated with renting out this item.
What does this remind you of? Like, it's the second thing that I would say, I think you hate it more than bounce houses.
I'll say the subfloors.
The subfloor. Damn.
The wood subfloors. Yeah. Some of the reasons, because like you do all this hard work and at the end, the customer is like, you verbally told them like, hey, if your backyard looks crazy, like to compensate, it would be so much work to do. So it's going to basically go however the terrain of your land is. And then you do it and they're like, hey, why is it like this? Because your land is like that. But for the most part, I mean, we try to level out. But some of these things, they're like divots all over the place, especially in the 40 by 80.
Technically, you have to come down with some sand or dirt and fill all the holes in there to get it back kind of even, which we learned that after we started doing the subfloor.
Or you can just cut it all out and just build it straight up.
Making a deck.
But yeah, pretty much make a deck over everything. But
just have to disassemble that deck too.
Yeah, that's a...
The top three most influential factors for U.S. shoppers while buying online is that 87% goes into their price, 80% goes into delivery cost, and 71% goes into discount. So those are the three most important factors that people look at.
So if you got what I got, you just raise the prices high and do a discount back to the regular price. And people are like, I save so much. The fifth pricing method is value-based pricing.
Value-based pricing is whenever you set prices based on the added value your equipment or service provides to the customers, regardless of the cost or your competition.
If you're having a partnership, it's like me and Eddie got a partnership. Let's say that right now. We got a little partnership going on. Mm-hmm. Something small.
Okay.
So like, let's say like you're renting out a margarita machine. You're going to give the margarita machine for free technically to rent there. And then you get a piece of each sale of the margaritas that come out of the machine. They won't be the publicized stuff. This would be like deals you work out with places and people who maybe don't have the equipment, but they have the people and still want to use the equipment to sell. And you can just make more money than you usually would make because you'll get a piece because you actually brought the equipment involved.
All right. So there is actually no math to this. However, there are two components that you would want to keep in mind whenever setting these prices. So first, you'd want to set the rental price equal to the fixed value assigned to the service. So this is where you find your break-even point. Then to add on top of that, you'll assign a fixed value to the service or the convenience that you are providing from that service. And so that's how you get the profits from the break-even point.
This is most of your salespeople and people who are generally out in the public going to get hit out with these ideas. Eddie, as our resident deal master.
So yeah, basically I had a friend that in underground rapping. And he's like, hey, you know, can we use your venue? And it's at night. I'm hoping that you will get this thing up to 100 people and you're charging them $20 a head. And then I'm going to get a percentage over that. Everything from their marketing and planning and everything was just like really nonchalant. Like, I don't think they took business really seriously. So the results kind of show for that. I gave him a chance. And then Xavier over here like, I told you, you get the money up front, forget all that other stuff. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not saying
it would have worked out if they did their part. You know?
Yeah, the idea is good. So like if you have equipment and you don't really have a way right now, or the demand is not high, but people are using these type of equipments at like restaurants, events, other events they're having, maybe they're not even thinking about having it, and you can come in and partner as a vendor, then you can make some good money on this right here. It's a really different way to do it. Now, the best way to do this right here, and I mean the best way, is that if you own a venue, you get a church to come in. Let the church come in free. And you get 30% of all the donations that they put into the church. 30% of the tithes. I don't problem with that. God might not be too happy sharing his money with you.
He would. We're getting it back to the people.
Yeah. Okay, you hear from Eddie. You hear from Brother Eddie right here. He says he'll be fine.
You want to start your ministry, you can reach out to us over here in Lewisville, Texas. We'll be taken care of.
So your hopes and dreams. Take your money in between.
And we ain't hungry no more either, bruh.
I don't mean like hitting the church like 75% of donations go to me. It's like they're right here, like I am him type person. I don't mean like that. But like you can work deals out. You kind of see what I'm kind of saying. Like if you have like a dance studio and you have an open area and you know, they can come in and give you a little piece per student. So maybe it's not like so much on a piece thing. But the thing is, after you do it once or twice, they'll start wanting to do a fixed rate. And now you're going to be able to get your exact fixed rate. And it's a good way to negotiate with people. So like if you're going through the process, like, oh, I don't want to pay that rate. But okay, that's fine. Come do it for free. But I get $5 on every hit who comes to the door. Mm-hmm. And then it'll make them rethink about it and realize how valuable it is. And then you can sell them back in one of the other methods.
80% of business-to-business purchases are impacted by a client's customer experience, with just 20% of that being based on the price or the specific product.
Okay. So what's the relation to that for the customer experience in the business?
The specific product as a whole. Because only 20% of business-to-business buyers care about your price or product.
This is a good way to get into working with some people that you might not be able to work with. And also, you don't have to worry about money as the factor. Make money together, grow together. And they do this in the drug market too, so it works. So if you currently right now do not have an LLC, make sure you check out Zen Business, one of our partners of the show, and you can go in and get your LLC. It's pretty straightforward. And you know my favorite part, Mark Cuban, in our here, he supports it too as well. So make sure you check out if you want an LLC, and it's a simple process to go through it, and it's 100% guaranteed and accurate. So make sure you check it out. Link's in the description, and it helps the channel out when you do. So we have a bonus method for you. And this is the method that we personally use. And this is a mixed approach of all of these strategies.
A mixed approach is basically whenever you combine multiple pricing strategies for different inventory items and choosing either the lower or higher end of price range based on your specific business strategy.
We kind of look at every single competitive pricing across the board for every single thing, especially for like your common items and stuff, because that's kind of the market trends. Percentage of paybacks, what do we use that for?
Just to see more or less like how fast we're going to get our money back.
Then lifespan is, well, it was like anything that's perishable, like linens. Then anything that's soft. So like if you're doing like lounge rentals, this would be a really big thing for you. The last one is item services. This is like a big part of like all our kind of like special items, which is not special on ours. I love a two driver items, we call it.
Yeah.
So like, what are those items?
Like tents, pipe and drape. There's anything we do any kind of setups on.
And the value-based one is like, if we're doing a deal at the venue, we'll work some stuff out. Or if we do stuff with our concessions. What is your favorite strategy and why?
percentage payback would be best, but also, you know, you don't know if the item that you're renting out, you need to do specific things for it, like setting up and stuff like that. So I think having the service-based items component really just help levels that out.
Okay. If you only have one to choose for every item.
One for every item, I would say service-based items, just because literally one part of that is already based on the percentage of payback.
Okay. Yeah. Tina's a cheater.
Yeah. So
Tina wants it all.
So it's inside of this equation.
Ain't taking no losses.
Yeah.
So Eddie, which one would you do?
Competitive pricing?
Yeah.
I like that one just because, and the reason why I choose that one it also is it depends on like where you're at in the point of your business. When we first started off, like we were on Facebook and at least I was, I couldn't bring a Google AdWords pricing or like a higher pricing into that kind of market because then they wouldn't even mess with me.
I think my favorite is you have to check out in the ultimate checklist. Rental rundown.
So the first question that I have for you guys is how often do you change your prices and what motivates your price changes?
Well, that's easy. The price changes come when we need more money. No, we regularly go like maybe every quarter. And we'll just check around, making sure nothing's changed, you know, with inflation and whatnot. We'll check around and make sure if we're on the same pace as everybody else, or if we're way lower or way higher. This really depends also. Like, if the items aren't moving as fast, we might drop it down some.
We're about to do one right before the busy season coming up because you really want to have your prices a little bit higher for the busy seasons so you can work that out. And then if they are lower, it'd be in the winter and or the slow season.
Let's say someone has watched this video and they feel like their previous price is too low. How would they let their customers know if they're having this drastic price change?
If you're still profitable with these customers, you can do a slight bump and you can still just keep them at that rate. Certain customers, depending on how they come in, have certain rate changes depending on their loyalty to the company. And then you might charge newer people a higher amount. So you don't have to technically charge everybody brand new rates. And I think that's like the one mistake when we went from low-cost delivery to like expensive delivery is that some people might have still rented with us and it was like a $20, $30 difference and they should have just had the $20, $30 taken off and then we'll kept the stuff. And it kept building the lifetime value of the customer. And this works well in like the slower seasons during the busy seasons. That would have been like blackout days for certain months that those prices couldn't be used in just because you're already selling everything out. You want to sell everything out full price. Thank you guys for watching The Rental Boys. I'm Xavier Kelly.
I'm Eddie Salcedo.
And I'm Tina.
And we are The Rental Boys and one girl.
If you like this video and would like to see more like it, please click this playlist right here. And please like, comment, share, and subscribe so we could get more subs.